Chapter 11. Shelley. It was as true for Leonard as it is for the rest of us that we can plan and calculate as much as we like, but romance never enters our lives on terms of our own choosing. Leonard had spent the weekend getting ready. He had been clothes shopping for the second time in a week, and despite the indecision that comes with being early middle-aged and therefore somewhat between looks, too old for casual, too young for daytime formal, he had managed to update his wardrobe, albeit by buying different versions of the same jumper and jeans combination. While his look would not stand out as particularly adventurous or interesting, he would at least benefit from the confidence that comes from knowing that the forces of nature are generally on the side of those who try something new. Over the weekend, he had run through a range of conversation openers and had thought ahead to how Shelley might respond and what sort of casual witticism would go down well in counter-response, though being careful not to come across as too smart-alecky or world-weary. He liked her positivity and energy and wanted to try and match it. When he got to his office building on Monday morning, he went to the bathroom to stare at himself for one last practice at the right facial expression before stepping into the ring. He had wanted to splash water on his face, but got it all wrong and ended up cupping water and throwing it down his front like a toddler. With few other options, he got down on his knees to dry off his chest with a hand dryer and then decided to let the warm air blow over his face as he shook his head gently from side to side, forgetting where he was. When the dryer stopped, there was a young guy standing beside him with a beard and a paisley pyjama top, waiting to dry his hands, with his crotch at Leonard's eye level. Leonard pressed the button for the lift, with his hands still soaking. As the door opened, he could see Shelley at the back corner, wearing her cycling helmet and hemmed in by the other rush-hour lift passengers. He gave her a wave with his wet hands, which just looked sweaty, and stepped into the lift. She gave a friendly little, "Isn't this weird?" smile back to him. The doors kept trying to close, but the lift was too full, and all eyes were on him to step back out. Initially, he tried to tough it out and pressed the button to close the doors, but there was nothing doing. They shuddered repeatedly, each time stalling and refusing to shut. And, of all moments, that had to be the time when Leonard's phone went off and revealed that he was the last person in the world still using the Crazy Frog ringtone, which he had meant to change ages ago but hadn't got around to it. At first, he tried to ignore it, but it seemed to go on forever. Instead of the voicemail kicking in, the person just kept on trying again and again. The deadlock was broken by the muffled voice of a man who seemed to have Leonard's shoulder in his mouth, who said, "Do you want to get that?" "Oh, really? Is that me? Oh, of course. Excuse me for a moment, folks," said Leonard, as he let himself out of the lift in a way that implied that he would be missed. Shelley tried to wave at him, but her arms were trapped. As he stepped out, the doors closed easily, resolving once and for all who had been at fault. He answered the call and killed off the Crazy Frog's inane revving. "Leonard, hi, it's me," said Hungry Paul. "Guess what?" "What?" replied Leonard with barely contained exasperation. "I got through the competition. My sign-off phrase has been shortlisted by the Chamber of Commerce. I have to go to a prize-giving and everything. Isn't that exciting? I was just starting my shift when our local postman came across to me and got me to sign for a registered letter in my own name. I've never won anything. I came straight home to tell my folks and thought I'd ring you too before I head back out and do my route." Leonard's annoyance softened when he heard how Hungry Paul had thought to include him among the first to hear the news. If ever there was a measure of their mutual fondness, it was the enthusiasm with which good news was shared between them, each friend assured of the good wishes of the other. "That's great news, old pal. I'm delighted for you. Can we come to the prize-giving?"
"I don't see why not. We could wear our wedding suits, maybe. I know you're busy at work, so I won't delay. Best of luck with your seductress today."
"Okay, I'll talk to you later. Oh, what phrase did you send in, by the way?"
"Ah, you'll have to come to the prize-giving to find out. I leave the big reveal until then," he replied.
Leonard walked up the stairs to his own floor, finding himself short of breath. While others spent their evenings at the gym or in boxercise, he spent his playing board games, and it showed in his general lack of fitness. When he got to his desk, there was a post-it note stuck to his screen, written in the prettiest curlicue handwriting. Need any fire advice? He set aside his general disapproval of affixing any type of adhesive to touchscreens, plucked it off with a sense of possibility, and popped it into the back section of his wallet, where he kept his receipts. He tried to look over to her desk, but it was blocked by a temporary partition that was used both as a social notice board and as a gallery of warnings about printing things unnecessarily. He drummed his fingers on his desk. Was this it? Was this the moment? Was this a signal, an invitation, or had she simply been left a message about his earlier contrived fire safety request and was following up like any dutiful fire warden? His stomach dropped, like a lift falling through a lift shaft. His adrenal glands were revving like the crazy frog. Do something, do something, do something, he repeated to himself. He couldn't walk over to her desk again, could he? Her workmates would think he was a weirdo to keep showing up like that. What if he set off the fire alarm? Was that a great idea or a terrible one? Was there a fine for setting it off mischievously, like pulling the cord on the train? Would it just make her mad at him? What if he moseyed over to the old notice board to give off the appearance of someone with a full social calendar, just swinging by to see what's cooking for the month ahead? This was where he always struggled. On the rare occasions over the years when he had started to connect with a girl, he could never quite figure out how to jump the canyon between being a nice guy and making romantic advances. He was always terrified of getting it all wrong and coming across as some lech whose friendliness was a facade to conceal a calculating carnal monster. His weakness had always been that he was not a closer. He had let every half chance slip away from him. For a man who suffered from indecision over the smallest things, including walking out of the Cineplex because of his inability to choose between three films, all of which he wanted to see, deciding his next romantic move was a Homeric struggle. All his plans and preparations came to nothing. Like a striker who dries up on cup final day, or a tennis player who double faults on the cusp of their first Grand Slam, Leonard froze under the pressure to act. But it is an underappreciated fact about encyclopedia writers that even though they might never have rescued a mammoth from a tar pit or captained a record-breaking maglev, it is impossible for them to remain unaffected by the bravery they depict every day. Leonard turned on his computer, but instead of entering the correct password, H1Leonard6! He entered three random, incorrect passwords and locked himself out. Straight away, he picked up the phone and rang the help desk, who was Greg, sitting across the office, just a couple of yucca plants away from Shelley's pod of four. Hi, Greg. Leonard here.
Lenny, baby. Laughing Len. Len, will I see you again? What can I do you for?
Well, I've locked myself out. Can you get me back in? I can call over, if that's easier, suggested Leonard.
No need, my man. I should be able to do it from here.
But Leonard had already hung up, left his desk, and was marching over to Greg before he could say another word. As he arrived, he gave a friendly hello to Shelley, who was on the phone, but mercifully alone in her four-person pod. Hi, Greg. I thought it best to come over. I'm just under a bit of pressure. Me and my fat fingers. Just need the password reset. Thanks. I know you're busy. Greg had been halfway through buttering a demi-baguette, and had just opened a tin of tuna that he was going to fill it with. It was not even 9 a.m.
Okie dokie, this'll just take one minutiae. Take a load off, compadre, said Greg, unable to complete one conventional sentence.
Leonard pointed to an empty desk in Shelley's pod with a "May I?" look on his face. Shelley made the OK sign with her fingers. She brought her phone call to a conclusion, saying, "No problem. Yes, indeed. The supervisor will call you back this afternoon?"
"Another happy customer?" asked Leonard.
"People are already mad and upset by the time they get through to me. I'm at the nothing-can-be-done stage, so I really just give them listening therapy." "So, come here. I hear you have been converted to the merits of fire safety. Welcome aboard," said Shelley.
"Oh, you mean my query the other day? No biggie.
said Leonard, using an expression he had never contemplated using in his life up to now.
It's just that my phone charger gets hot if I leave it on, and I didn't want to create any trouble for you.
Or the other fire wardens, I mean, answered Leonard meekly.
Google wasn't working then?
I tried looking it up, but I just wanted to check there wasn't anything I was missing from a company protocol point of view. Etc., etc., he improvised.
I would say, in my professional fire warden opinion, don't leave it plugged in overnight. It's bad for the environment.
Oh, absolutely. I use the green bin all the time. I'm always stuffing paper into it, answered Leonard. Although I'm also trying to reduce the amount I print, he added, pointing to the warnings on the notice board. Shelley gave a little laugh and decided to stop winding him up.
I have a favour to ask of you, actually.
Anything, 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 he thought.
Really? Nothing too compromising, I hope?
He asked.
No, not really. Could you sign these for me? They're a bedtime favourite in our house.
She took out some children's encyclopedias from the Facts at My Fingertips series, all credited to Mark Baxter B. Ed, which Leonard had ghostwritten. She held up three books on the human body, birds, and capital cities, each of them with curly edges and spines wrinkled from reading and rereading.
Of course. I've never been asked for an autograph before. This is nice.
He started flicking through them for the first time since they were published. She was right. They were good. Full of punchy little descriptions and stuffed with enthusiasm.
How about a deal? If I sign these for you, would you possibly consider meeting me for lunch in the park today? Unless you have plans, in which case that's fine. I mean, no offence taken, and I'll still sign the books for you. But if you're free and you'd like to do it, then maybe lunch would be nice. And if it doesn't suit you today, then maybe some other day, or even next week, or after Easter. I mean, I'm pretty easy either way. It's my treat, although if we're going to the park, we could get a takeaway sandwich, or maybe you bring in your lunch, you know, salad or something. Maybe think about it and let me know what suits.
Leonard paused for breath and to make sure he didn't just keep babbling forever.
That would be lovely. I'm free today, as it happens, though I have to be gone by 2, if that's okay.
Great, of course, you head whenever. Great, 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 said Leonard, unable to conceal a smile as relief swept through his body.
Oh, the books. Who should I make them out to?
Asked Leonard, going through the pretense of asking officially for the name he already knew.
To Patrick, please,
asked Shelley.
Okay, Patrick it is.
Who the hell is Patrick? Thought Leonard.
He's my son. He's 7. We read your books all the time. Well, he reads them and then reads them to me. He couldn't believe it when I told him the guy who writes them works in my office. By the way, I just told him you were Mark Baxter B. Ed, so maybe best to sign it as him?
Right, answered Leonard, winded and wondering what was going on.
Just kidding. Sign your own name.
God, wouldn't that be terrible to ask you to pretend to be that other faker? Honestly. My name is Shelley, by the way. Pleased to meet you. She extended her hand in mock formality, as if offering it for a kiss. Leonard hesitated about whether she actually expected him to kiss it, which he would have done, but then she laughed again and took it back.
I'm Leonard, not Mark, no B. Ed, so I suppose I'll just sign these then. Let's see, I better do a little message. Let me think.
He signed the books to Patrick and gave them back.
Here's your new password, Leinster, said Greg as he came over and handed Leonard a post-it with monkey C0CK exclamation mark on it.
Okay. Thanks, Greg. Thanks, Shelley. See you at 1. I'll pick you up here, if that's okay. Of course. 1 at the pod. Thanks for the autographs. Patrick will be delighted.
Leonard walked back to his desk and collapsed. Never had he made such a progress in his love life in such a short period. It had taken a lot out of him. How was he supposed to find the energy for round 2 at lunchtime?
And Patrick?
Well, that explained the half days and the rushing off at 2 p.m.
A girl with a son.
He hadn't bargained for that. What if it all worked out? He could be a parent in a matter of weeks. This was all going very fast. Was the real father still on the scene? Was Shelley really interested in him, or was she just looking for someone who would get on with Patrick? It's a big leap from writing encyclopedias to raising a child, at least without some intermediate stages in between. OK, calm down, Leonard. One step at a time. Stay in the moment. Leonard picked Shelley up at her desk at exactly one and offered to carry her bags for her. Like all people who cycled to work, she carried far too much stuff and even had more crap under her desk. He tried to think of somewhere trendy to grab a sandwich that they could then eat in the park, already pretending to be someone a little different, as people tend to do in the early days. He chose a hipster sandwich called Bite Me. There was a long queue, with several bearded young men ahead wearing paisley pyjama tops and ordering veggie specials. Oh, no shortage of vegetarians, that's for sure. No wonder they can fit into those jeans. Are those blokes wearing women's jeans? Good God, said Leonard, slightly forgetting himself. Shelley just smiled. They reached the top of the queue, where a girl with cutie tattooed on her neck waited to take their order. Well, let me see. I'll have the meat feast, please, said Leonard, ordering something which was basically a full barnyard in a wrap, although with hummus, inevitably. And what would you like, Shelley? My treat. Thanks. I'll have the veggie special, she said, nudging Leonard. And I should also confess that I am wearing women's jeans. Hope that's okay? Leonard apologised for the veggie incorrectness. I didn't mean anything by it. Sorry, does it bother you if I eat meat? You're fine, she answered. I'm not sensitive about things like that. Why don't we go find a bench and maybe ask each other loads of searching personal questions, she asked. Not too searching, I hope. I'll start wishing I had some interesting secrets to tell, he answered. They chatted on the way, and Leonard did pretty okay. His initial awkwardness actually teed up some banter between them, and he was happy playing the straight man to her goofy sense of humour, which he was starting to get the hang of. They found a little bench near the duck pond, though there were no ducks on it, just some moorhens and a couple of sleeping swans. You want a bite? She offered. No, thanks. I don't suppose there's much point in offering you a bite of mine. Indeed. Although all the animals in this wrap are, or were, vegetarian, so that's a halfway house, maybe? He said. Well, nice to know there are no carnivores in it. No lions or tigers. Shelley looked at the birds on the pond. Should we throw them some bread or wrap or something? Best not to. There's no nutrition in it, and it's not good for them, he answered. Of course, I must remember. You're Mr. Encyclopedia. You could probably tell me where they come from and how big their eggs are and everything. Go on, tell me something I've never heard before. She was actually excited. Oh, let me think. How about that they'd actually prefer some defrosted frozen peas? Ah! She laughed, or rather hooted. I got some of those. They're in my bag. Actually, it's a mix of frozen veg. I bought them on the way to work and was going to cook them at home. How about we throw some in? She reached into her bag and rooted around a bit, taking out a few things in order to find the veg, goat's milk, corn burgers, soy yogurts and green lentils. Yeah, if you like. What about your dinner? Never mind. Patrick hates vegetables. He'll be delighted with sausage and beans. So they stood at the pond and started scattering the food. The carrots were not fully defrosted and sank. The peas and corn floated and were picked off. Shelley's sense of fairness came out as she weighted her throws towards the less pushy birds. After the bag was empty, she crumpled it up and asked Leonard straight out while handing him a cupcake. So, is this just a lunch or a getting to know you or what? Well, I'm not sure what you'd call it. I'd certainly like to get to know you, if that's okay, I mean. I'm not writing an encyclopedia about you or anything. I'm not just good at mining for facts. I'm also happy to feed vegetables to birds, or just hang out. They started walking as they chatted, taking the edge off the intensity of her question. He told her his age, that he had grown up nearby, that he was an only child, and then finally, in what seemed like a fitting detail to explain where his life was at just then, that his mother had passed away a few weeks before. Oh, I'm so sorry, Leonard. The first time she had said his name.
You must still be grieving. That's so sad. You must really miss her.
For Leonard, this was the first time he had really had a conversation about the whole thing. That he was having it on his first date with a girl he really liked was either a really bad sign or a really good one.
I do miss her. I do,
he said, strangely unable to make light of it.
Well, let me see.
Shelley took up the reins of the conversation.
I'm 27, on the way to 28. I don't like my job or the customers, but I like the people I work with.
I started art college, but didn't finish it. I have a son, Patrick, who's 7. Feel free to be weird about that. No biggie, as you might say. He's about yay big, with curly auburn hair, green eyes and Star Wars glasses. As he says about himself, he has a big imagination and a big heart, which is the truest thing I've ever heard. His father is not on the scene. Let's just get that out of the way. I'd like to go back to art college someday, but for now I still draw for fun, though I have sort of plateaued in terms of my talent. I like noisy music, but I like it to have good lyrics. Not necessarily clever lyrics, just lyrics that have some spirit.
The hour until 2 o'clock, when, as she put it, she would turn into a pumpkin, seemed like the shortest hour of Leonard's life. They chatted and chatted in what, if he wasn't mistaken, seemed like the start of something. Their conversation, though not smooth, seemed to bounce back from slow patches and find its rhythm easily. They didn't link arms or hold hands, but they did seem to walk quite close to one another, and their elbows brushed without clumsiness several times. He carried her bag, and she was the more confident of the two of them. As the time wore on and ran out, Leonard had not only abandoned his plans and contrivances, but had forgotten he ever had them. He walked her back to her bike, with the time approaching too.
"So," she said.
"So la-ti-do," Leonard sang, falling off his tippy-toes at the high note, hardly realising that he was doing an impression of Shelley's sense of humour. Making her laugh was his new favourite thing.
"So, Mr. Encyclopedia, I better go."
Yes, of course."
"How do you think it went?" he blurted.
She laughed a little snot bubble out of her nose and immediately covered it up with her gloved hand.
Oh, that's classic."
She did a sigh of recovery from laughing.
"It was really nice. Thank you."
His move.
"Right then, could we maybe meet up again? Another lunch or something?"
he suggested.
"You men, always thinking ahead to your next meat feast. I am free Thursdays, so we could do an evening thing if that is what you meant."
"Great. Great, I wasn't sure how you were fixed with your son and everything. That's great, yeah, Thursday is free for me." As was every other night.
"How about I meet you in town at the clock tower at about, what, 8?
He suggested.
"Ah, the clock tower, you old romantic. Okay, see you then. I'll let you choose the activity. See if you can blow my mind with something."
"Yes, okay, will do." He thought.
"See you there and then."
Was he supposed to try and kiss her? Peck her on the cheek or something? What to do, what to do, what to do? He leaned forward awkwardly as she was putting her helmet on and sort of hugged her platonically to the side at her shoulder.
"Whoa, Casanova, easy with the judo moves. Here."
And she pecked him on the cheek instructively. It was a subtle way of establishing what they had both guessed, which is that she knew a bit more about that kind of thing than he did. She gave him a little tring-tring on her bicycle bell as she pulled away. Leonard stood there and exhaled, waving to her back as she got lost in the traffic.
"Boy, oh boy," he said out loud. "Boy, oh boy."
When Shelley got home, she looked at what Leonard had written in the encyclopedias he had signed.
"Dear Patrick, everything in this book is true. The world really is this amazing. Make sure you tell your mum all about it. Yours, Leonard." The man who really wrote the words for these books.